And I think I'm close to translating the mating call of the giant clam.
Thank you, Professor Collarbone. Good job, well done. That will be all, said Arch-Chancellor Ridcully coldly. Unhinge the mechanism, Mr. Stibbons.
A look of fervid relief passed across Devious Collarbone's face just before the omniscope went blank. Mr. Pony, you are the chief engineer of the Grand Trunk, are you not? Said Vetinari before the babble could rise again. The engineer, suddenly the focus of attention, backed away, waving his hands frantically.
Please, your lordship, I'm just an engineer. I don't know anything.
Calm yourself, please. Have you heard that the souls of dead men travel on the trunk?
Oh, yes, your lordship.
Is it true? Well, there. Pony looked round, a hunted man. He'd got his pink flimsies, and they would show everyone that he was nothing more than a man who'd tried to make things work. But right now, all he could find on his side was the truth. He took refuge in it. I can't see how, but, well, sometimes when you're up a tower of a night and the shutters are rattling and the wind's singing in the rigging, well, you might think it's true.
I believe there is a tradition called sending home, said Lord Vetinari.
The engineer looked surprised.
Why, yes, sir, but...
Pony felt he ought to wave a little flag for a rational world in which, at the moment, he didn't have a lot of faith.
The trunk was dark before we ran the message, so I don't see how the message could have got on...
Unless, of course, the dead put it there, said Lord Vetinari. Mr. Pony, for the good of your soul and not least your body, you will go now to the Tump Tower, escorted by one of Commander Vimes's men, and send a brief message to all the towers. You will obtain the paper tapes, which I believe are known as drum rolls, from all the towers on the Grand Trunk. I understand that they show a record of all messages originating at that tower, which cannot be readily altered.
That will take weeks to do, sir, Pony protested.
An early start in the morning would seem in order then, said Lord Vetinari. Mr. Pony, who had suddenly spotted that a spell a long way from Ankh-Morpork might be a very healthy option just now, nodded and said,
Right you are, my lord.
The Grand Trunk will remain closed in the interim, said Lord Vetinari.
"'It's private property!' Greeningham burst out.
"'Tyrants, remember,' said Vetinari, almost cheerfully. "'But I'm sure that the audit will serve to sort out at least some aspects of this mystery. "'One of them, of course, is that Mr. Reacher Gilt does not seem to be in this room.' "'Every head turned. "'Perhaps he remembered another engagement,' said Lord Vetinari. "'I think he slipped out some time ago.' It dawned on the directors of the Grand Trunk that their chairman was absent and, which was worse, they weren't. They drew together.
"'I wonder if, at this point, at least we could discuss the matter with you privately, your lordship,' said Greeningham. "'Reacher was not an easy man to deal with, I'm afraid.'
"'Not a team player,' gasped Nutmeg.
"'Oh,' said Sterley, "'what is this place? Who are all these people?'
"'Left us totally in the dark most of the time,' said Greeningham.
"'Can't remember a thing,' said Stowley. "'I'm not fit to testify. Any doctor will tell you.
"'I think I can say on behalf of all of us "'that we were suspicious of him all along.
"'Mine's Tettlebank. Not a blessed thing. "'What's this thing with fingers on? Who am I?'
"'Lord Vetinari stared at the board "'for 5 seconds longer than was comfortable, "'while tapping his chin gently with the knob of his cane. "'He smiled faintly. "'Quite,' he said. "'Commander Vimes, I think it would be iniquitous "'to detain these gentlemen here any longer.' As the faces in front of him relaxed into smiles full of hope, that greatest of all gifts, he added, "'To the cells with them, Commander. Separate cells, if you please. I shall see them in the morning. And if Mr. Slant comes to see you on their behalf, do tell him I'd like a little chat, will you?' That sounded good. Moist strolled towards the door, while the hubbub rose, and had almost made it when Lord Vetinari's voice came out of the throng like a knife. "'Leaving so soon, Mr. Lipvig, do wait a moment.' I shall give you a lift back to your famous post office. For a moment, just a slice of a second, Moist contemplated running. He did not do so. What would be the point? The crowd parted hurriedly as Lord Vetinari headed towards the door. Behind him, the watch closed in. Ultimately, there is the freedom to take the consequences. The patrician leaned back in the leather upholstery as the coach drew away. "'What a strange evening, Mr. Lipvig,' he said. "'Yes, indeed.' Moist, like the suddenly bewildered Mr. Stowley, considered that his future happiness lay in saying as little as possible. "'Yes, sir,' he said.
I wonder if that engineer will find any evidence that the strange message was put on the clack